somewhere.
This is Washington, D.C., WJFK, Baltimore.
Do you have any idea what our competition provides their listening public with? This is what our competition plays from sun up until sundown. Records. They play records. The same records you could play on your gramophone at home. And this is what we give a home.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The famous and unknown, the professional and amateur announcer.
Don Geronimo, Mike O'Mara.
My greetings to both of you.
Radio gods. The Don and Mike Show is copyright 1996 Infinity Broadcasting.
You people never cease to amaze me.
All rights reserved. Produced by 106.7 WJFK, Washington's Superstation, and distributed by Westwood One Entertainment.
As you all know, this show of ours is a sort of catch-as-catch-can affair with everything up for grabs.
Our kids don't even rehearse. They just audition and then go out.
Previously on the Don and Mike Show.
Here is Yuri Geller.
Can you bend my ring?
Can you bend my spoon?
That's the, look at that. This is, I mean, I didn't come here to perform and all that.
Oh, no.
But wait.
Yeah. If you're not going to do anything,
yeah,
leave. Then we got other stuff we can do.
All right, bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Magician.
Bye.
We'll
bye, bye, Yuri.
Bye.
All right. Bye, fella. All right, bye-bye.
Screw him!
The Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Mr. Marconi, for this the radio. Without your thoughtful genius, there would be no Don and Mike Show.
Today, right?
Yes, I do.
He described it as Jimmy the intern breath.
Yeah, and I flossed and brushed today with that special electric toothbrush that you and I both love. And I still have trench mouth.
Maybe that's the problem. We're sharing that toothbrush.
Yeah, I should use it first next time.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
And here he is, just like Regis Philbin's producer, wearing that Greco-Roman wrestling haircut. Here is Robert Gelman. How many do you have today, Robert?
Yeah, okay. Four,
okay. Number four.
Okay. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America and all the ships at sea. They're not computers and they didn't come here to perform. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Yes, they can, because they're pros. Look it up in the book. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
All right, I mentioned to the ill-fated appearance of Yuri Geller on the show on Friday. Number three, please.
Just a taste, my good man. The Don and Mike Show.
All right.
Number two?
Just one more word about mentalist Uri Geller. He ain't mental. He's postal. The Don and Mike Show.
All right. And now the one that will catapult the springboarders to another record-setting show.
Although they didn't win a single Cable Ace Award, they did get a couple Vish Ace Awards. Don and Mike.
All right, thank you, Gelman, and get out. And thank you for listening. Hope you had a great weekend, and thank you for starting your week with us. Don Geronimo with Mike O'Mara. That's why we call it the Cotton-Picking Don and Mike Show.
Because we're so darn smart.
Coast to coast and nationwide, this is a national show on Westwood One Entertainment. You'll hear his voice throughout the program today. That's our friend Radio's Buzz Burbank. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
And sometimes you'll hear the almost human gruntings of Charles Broyhill, the highly evolved Charles Broyhill, who is the lovingly the studio technician.
Yeah, and I always laugh when you introduce him as such.
I am embarrassed to be in radio.
Why?
What now?
Well, I'm coming in today, and I'm listening to the different stations.
Mm-hmm.
First off, it's way too early to be hearing the Pointer Sisters sing We Wish You a Merry Christmas.
Are they doing that already?
92.5 was.
Oh, my God.
Way too early for that with the disc jockey coming on after the record, you know, with the running the mic. Hey, happy holidays, everybody.
There used to be a time when you didn't start that until the day after Thanksgiving.
That's the official, non-official rule.
Sure.
So I heard the Pointer Sisters. I thought, oh, let me change the station. And I turned on another station, and I heard the disc jockey come on and go, 94.7, that's REO, and now here's Van Mo. I'm like, was he calling this guy a homo? I thought he was going to play a Van Halen, right? It was Van Morrison.
Sure, Van Mo, man. That's DJ speak for Van Morrison.
Van Mo.
Van Mo.
So I'm laughing about that. Yeah. I'm chuckling as I pull into the driveway.
Sure.
And I come in, and I got a memo, and I got it right here, that I got to call Westwood One.
Okay.
I got to call our affiliate. And they call, and they say, listen, we have some bad news.
Mm-hmm.
The station at Salt Lake City.
Yes.
The station that just expanded to 4 hours.
Yeah. Yes.
On Thursday.
Right.
It's gone.
What?
It's gone? You mean the whole station is gone?
No.
Get hit by a tornado or something?
No. Well, listen to this. This is as wacky as Van Mo.
Mm-hmm.
The station was owned by a church.
Yes.
Apparently, it just worked its way down to the church. The programming that was being run on Hot Talk 860 in Salt Lake City,
uh-huh,
they found out on Friday. On Saturday, they changed the format to, I swear to God, all Disney radio.
All Disney?
Hmm. Where they are playing soundtracks from Walt Disney.
Oh, my God.
They are playing music from Walt Disney. They have programming that originates in Orlando. It's a whole big Disney kids radio thing. You know, you go to bed Friday night, and you think, not only are we on in Salt Lake, but they've just picked up the fourth hour, and we're so proud of the fact that, you know, an irreverent show like this was gaining some momentum in Salt Lake.
Lots of calls from Salt Lake. People were loving the show out there.
You wake up Monday, and you find out that they got it, and it's Disney.
Oh, yeah, well, no problem. We'll have no problem getting another affiliate out there.
That was like the worst. It's Disney. Not only is it a slap in the face.
Sure.
That they just canceled, and not only our show.
Replaced by Disney.
Canceled the whole station.
Wow.
It's like somebody called the priest up or something and said, hey, listen, have you heard what they're doing on the station that's owned? And that's what I heard.
Yeah.
Station owned by a church.
Well, aren't they all owned by churches in Utah? That's the way I understood it, that all stations are owned by a church.
I don't know. That's like the nuttiest thing that I ever heard.
That is very weird, and that's very sad because, you know, we get a feel for different affiliates, and the one out there in Salt Lake City was doing gangbusters.
Yeah. No, and they had good preliminary ratings information and such. Yeah.
Such is the world of syndication, though. Those are the things you have to deal with.
Oh, those poor people in Salt Lake.
Yeah.
You know? And they had done a really great job of calling the management of the station,
mm-hmm,
to get them to pick up the fourth hour of the show. You know, we had a big moment there on Thursday when we realized that they had picked up the fourth hour. And Friday we were getting calls from Salt Lake with people saying, hey, we love the fact we get the whole show.
We were delighted.
You know, today they're hearing Beauty and the Beast. Whistle while you work.
Or whatever
it is that they're hearing. So
that's
listen,
a shame.
Our apologies. You know, again, you know, we're preaching to the choir here because we can't be heard today in Salt Lake City.
Right. I always thought it was such a trailblazing move by those people out in Salt Lake City to put this program on, and now it's been replaced by Disney programming.
Plus, it was the perfect opportunity for GD.
Yeah.
You know, Otherwise, you gotta pick the right spot.
Yes, you were using it simply to demonstrate the irreverence of the program by saying GD.
Yeah, for all those goddamn Mormons.
That's right.
But see, it's wasted on them.
Now it doesn't matter. Now it wasted. Doesn't have the same punch.
Wasted on them. Listen, we have a quick break coming up because we want to get to the weekend recap very quickly because we must pick in the early part of the show today the winner for the Thanksgiving Agogo contest.
That's going to be wonderful. That's right, Thanksgiving. And exotic dancers.
Next Wednesday, as a matter of fact, is when it's all going to happen. So let's do a quick break. Oh, happy surprise. I'm the football wizard. Happy surprise. 11 right and 3 wrong.
What were all of our other records, the other minions that were picking the games on Friday?
Kate, 9-5.
Oh, Kate did a fine job on her debut.
Mike, 9-5.
9-5.
Charlie Jones.
How'd he do?
7-6.
Ooh, bad performance by the celebrity picker.
Well, now, how could Charlie Jones be 7-6 and Bart is 7-7? I ask you that. Now, here is the first appearance.
Here comes studio technician.
Charles Broyhill.
If you'll recall, Mr. Jones predicted no winner in the New Orleans-Atlanta game.
Ah, that's right. He got a pass.
That's why.
He's ahead of us. Look at how gleeful. And he's so happy. He was so happy because he had us. He had it cold on that one. He's pretty good about, as much as he has difficulty with the English language.
And he does.
He's really good on those picks most of the time. He really doesn't screw up that much. That's terrific.
Sure. You can train an animal, Mike. You can train an animal to scratch at the back door where the animal has to go to the bathroom.
But no matter what, you can train them to do anything. They'll still end up, licking themselves.
Oh, we're back to that again.
Sure.
Oh, did I get some comments about that? Apparently, I'm in the minority.
Really?
Most guys would.
Of course.
And apparently, at least with the guys that I came in contact with over the weekend, a lot of them tried.
Man, they must be flexible as all get out.
All right, we'll be back. Let me do a break here and we'll come right back.
Radio needs a good kick in the ass.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara, WJFK.
According to our medical readouts, there's still nothing wrong with him. He looks like he's running a temperature, but every instrument we have says he's not.
Doctor, every person on that ship over there died. Is there any chance that whatever did it is loose on my ship?
If you mean a disease, sir, I'd say there's no chance of it. We used full decontamination. We examined every team member very carefully.
The entire crew somehow managed to kill themselves, Doctor. And it's not a disease. What else may be
good? Doctor.
The obvious alternatives are in the areas of insanity and severe emotional upset. Troy. Do you feel anything unusual in the lieutenant?
Troy?
Security.
Troy.
Told me that he was
Deanna.
A normal sight. It's a sudden yearning for that.
Since his records show no previous mention of that, the fact that it happened now could be important. But all I sense from him is confusion.
Thinking about her.
If I didn't
going in that changing room with Terry Farrell.
Our tests would have shown that. Also, any other signs of drugs, hallucinogens, or any other contaminants?
And now, from your Washington Sea Dogs, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Listen, I'm sad to say I thought I was over it, but I'm not. I'm right back on that Star Trek thing again.
Now, is this for the movie?
Yeah.
I don't blame you for the movie. I think the trailers for the movie are exciting.
They've been running the commercials like ad nauseum, and last night I put the uniform on.
Sure.
The real one.
Because your guy's in there. Your guy's looking like really superhero, and it's the kind of sci-fi you like, right, with the exploding ships and all that?
Sure, yeah, all the junk I like.
Sure.
Borgs, Picard.
Right.
An angry Picard.
Mm-hmm.
Directed by number one.
Oh, really? Riker.
Yes.
Riker directed it.
Yes, Deanna Troi, Worf, all of my friends that I had abandoned. All of those Star Trek moments, all of those Star Trek memories, now it's all coming back to me.
The obsession rears its ugly head once again.
As I gently rubbed my little chrome piece of the Enterprise that I stole when we were out in California, as I touched the phaser, the real stunt phaser that was used on the show, and then I went to the closet, I opened the closet and I said, hello, old friend. Hello, authentic Starfleet uniform.
Meanwhile, the uniform is going, wear me, wear me.
Given to me by Dick Enberg's son, whose mother is a producer on that show.
Boy, you got a good memory. That's right.
I'll never forget where I got that uniform.
Do you remember the name of the guy that gave it to you, whose mother gave it to you?
Andy.
Was it Andy?
Yeah. Andy and her last name was Jeannie or...
Gina.
Gina. Yeah.
Hello.
Davis, California. Hello, darling.
Well, hi, Boo-Boo. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. So listen, the point of all of this is that we have a premiere of this Star Trek movie.
We're going to have a screening?
Yes, Friday morning.
Ooh.
Friday morning. And now I'm undecided well, what if we opened it up to people who are really, like, Star Trek nuts?
Sure.
Real idiots? I mean, see, I don't know, though, because...
Hey, you're like a guy who's embarrassed of your own family.
That's true.
You are one of those people.
Yes, I am.
You're a Trekkie.
Because I want to wear the uniform. I want to wear the uniform into the theater while the movie is on and enjoy the movie with the people who I enjoy ridiculing on a regular basis.
Don't deny your heritage.
The lovable Trekkies.
Don't deny your heritage. That's right.
Well, listen, would you like to be my date? This is why I called. Would you like to come to the movie Friday?
You didn't ask my schedule before, Boo-Boo. I got a school meeting Friday morning.
Ah, well, then I will have to go solo.
Is that a Star Trek pun?
No.
Solo, get it? That's, of course, a Star Wars pun. That's what that would be.
No, I was
not
simply...
Han Solo. I'm thinking Mr. Oh, Sulu. Sorry.
You'd be going Sulu.
I am simply following up now on our fantastic weekend together.
Yeah, how so? Or refresh my memory.
No, wait a minute. Hold on. Saturday, didn't we leave Bart at the neighbor's, and you and I went away for a drive? We went for a very long drive together.
That's very romantic.
We conversed the whole way. We stopped at a restaurant and had lunch.
Right.
McDonald's.
All right, but...
Was that really the restaurant?
Yeah.
We stopped at a restaurant and had lunch.
But we didn't go to drive-thru. We went inside.
We asked Ronald for a table for two.
That's great, though. How many times do you go inside of the McDonald's?
You never do. You know, when we beat the rush and we were sitting there. You know that good feeling you get when you're in McDonald's, when you've walked in and there's no line, and then as soon as you're handed your food, the school bus with a high school band comes in.
It's a great feeling.
And you think, I got my food and all those other saps are going to have to wait for theirs. I thought we had a nice day Saturday, just the two of us.
That's good.
Just, you know, because things have been a little tense in the house lately.
Just kind of wandering aimlessly, no real point, right? Just driving around?
Doing what my wife wants to do.
Good.
You know, looking at stuff. You know, all that boring jazz. Look at this. Look at that. Isn't that a nice house? Isn't that a beautiful tree? Isn't that a nice lake? Okay, all right. Yes, but we had a wonderful day together, and then we followed it up Saturday night when, again, we ditched our kid, and we just went out, the two of us, with our friends Bob and Charlie.
Good folks.
Yes.
It was almost a TV-free day.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's right. That's the kind of devoted husband I am. I made up for it yesterday. I watched double the television yesterday.
There you go.
For miracles.
Although, you know, you really embarrassed me at that restaurant on Saturday night. We went to this place. You know the place, Mike, that all the Redskins go to?
Mm-hmm.
The place where they call, like, every week to say, Don and Mike, please come down and have lunch or have dinner, bring your families. And I've always felt that I don't want to go to a place like that, with no offense to them, after they've made such a big deal about come in, because then it's like you go in and you're like...
Is that the Italian place that does
that? You know, you go in and it's like, the king is here! Hello, everybody! It makes me feel uncomfortable, and they ask, like, for our picture to put up on the wall. So Frida's been there, and she likes eating there. Well, we're out on a limb on Saturday night. We don't know where to go. Frida says, I bet I can call that restaurant, and I bet that if I drop name, that, of course, they're going to give you a table on Saturday night. They've been trying to get you to come in.
Mm-hmm.
So she calls, we get a table for Saturday night at 7 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. We're standing in the little waiting area there, and we're enjoying a beverage.
If you didn't have a reservation, it was a 2.5-hour wait.
Wow.
So we're standing there, and you know me. When I'm out, I low-key it. You know, mm-hmm. I like to melt in with everybody else and just go my own way and be an observer.
Sure.
Not be the big mouth that I am here. So I'm a little bit on my guard because, you know, we've kind of called and been pushy and pushed our way into getting this reservation.
Yeah.
I did. Okay.
So I made a point of,
That's so nice of you to admit that, Frida.
I made a point of saying to Frida, that's fine if you want to do that, but you call the restaurant and you say that we're coming, and then when we get there... You go up and you announce to the person working at the table that, you know, that the pushy people are here, the people who got to have the reservation.
And so I was calling him Howard Hughes and saying, leave it to me. I'll take care of it. You don't have to converse with a soul.
Well, see, I think that's the thing. When you're a major star, what you do is you don't have, you don't do the dirty work yourself. Right. You have your minions do the dirty work.
So we're standing on their way. We're waiting about 10 minutes for the table. And then all of a sudden I hear, and they got the paging system that goes throughout the restaurant. Don Geronimo, your table is ready. Don Geronimo, table ready. And we go running over to the desk, and she got her back to us, and she's now announcing, Don Geronimo,
oh, God,
come to the table, please.
You know, every head in the restaurant is turned, and I am super embarrassed.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, that was an error on my part.
That, man, I'm the same way. That is, I mean, really, that is very difficult when and especially on a PA.
So they announce the name real loud, and everybody turns around to look. And they have a nice table for us.
Good.
A nice booth. It's all the way in the back.
Right.
So we're walking, and it's a huge restaurant, walking all the way through. Now, while I'm already feeling oogie, like everybody's looking at me as we're walking through.
I make my wife say Laura O at Fuddruckers. I understand exactly what you're talking about.
My wife says, as we're walking through the crowd, and she says it real loud,
mm-hmm.
Oh, look, there's your picture on the wall over there. Like, oh, God, please stop it.
No. You should walk through there with your head held high, shaking hands as you go along.
I like being anonymous. I'm not Bob Dole. I'm not Bill Clinton.
No.
I'm not running for office.
No, you should walk through there like the star that you are. You should have a floodlight on you as you walk through the aisle.
Well, you knock it off. And we had a nice time with our friends.
That's right? Good.
Who
That's
we
good.
Haven't seen for a long time. And it's Sunday morning, big paranoia.
Really?
Frida got a real case of paranoia. She's, she's always going through the hormone thing.
Don't go into my little insecurities.
All right, I'll do is talk about your insecurity with a haircut, okay?
Well, don't, because really, I'm afraid that people will point out to you that it is a little spotty.
No, listen, I want to tell you something. Rob was jealous, and Mike will attest to this. 2 minutes before we turn on the microphones, mm-hmm. Rob said to me with a longing look in his eyes, wow. Nice haircut. You see, Rob used to cut my hair.
Mm-hmm. It's solid.
And Frida has gone back to cutting my hair now. So on Sunday morning, hi, Rob, how you doing?
Actually, just in my own defense, I just wanted to say is I missed the money. That was an extra 50 cents in my pocket every month.
So
you're going to have the job back. I feel like I it's too scary. And then I thought about you, Robbie. I thought, how did you do that, knowing that, you could have just one wrong turn, and you're in big trouble.
See, here's the thing. I say to Frida, I'm sitting there Sunday morning. I say, you know what? I got to go out and do the Redskins show today. My hair looks like crap. I look like the Scarecrow from The Wizard of Oz. Give me a haircut. She says, sit down. I say to her as I'm sitting down, I say, Rob used to do this in 90 seconds.
Yeah, he was rapid.
That's true.
And he had the pressure of doing it while we were on the air.
Yes. I always rooted for him to do it just a little bit longer, to go on just a little bit, because that's when I got my All About Mike segment. But you were 90 seconds, on the dot.
Yeah. And now keep in mind, my haircut, there's nothing simple to it. You take the buzz and you go, and that's pretty much my
haircut.
It
is simple. That's right. It's a simple haircut.
Right.
Yeah, but if you hold those clippers at the wrong angle, I know, because I've done Miss Sabart, and really, somebody came to my house and thought we were running a hospice because Bart did not look well. His hair.
So here's what I hear. I'm sitting down and I say, "Can you please cut my hair?" And right away, it's going to take me a while. Mm-hmm. I said, "Listen, Rob does this in 90 seconds." She says, "Okay, I'm doing the best." Now we've already had all of this.
Yeah, but
we've already had all of this insecurity about other stuff that I won't talk about on the radio.
If you look horrible, Rob doesn't have to sleep with you still.
Yes, he does. she starts cutting my hair.
Yeah.
And I'm just sitting there, and she's doing the back of my head, and all of a sudden she stops and she goes, "Oh my God!"
Oh man, that's gonna terrify you.
I said, "What did you do?" She said, "You look like a chemo patient."
Oh, no.
And I said, "What?" And then I got mad. I said, "Listen, Rob Spiewak cut my hair in 90 seconds while I was doing a radio show.
Mm-hmm.
I asked you to cut my hair, and I look like I'm in chemotherapy."
Mm-hmm.
And not a good idea to yell at the person who's holding the clippers and who's already upset.
But back looks good. The back looks okay.
No, she evened it up okay, but it was just and incidentally, I also notice that when you went to cut my sideburns, you nicked me there. And I know you did that on purpose.
Yeah, darling, fire me. I beg of you.
Did you have a good, sharp set of shears?
Oh, yeah. She uses the, my father's old-time barber kit, that thing you can buy at CVS.
That sure. I cut the dog's hair with once, but I didn't tell you.
See, here's the thing with my wife and the haircuts. When Rob used to cut my hair, Frida would say to me, seriously, I swear to God she would say this seriously, boy, oh boy, it hurts my feelings that you let Rob cut your hair. I thought you liked it when I cut your hair.
I got over it.
So I go to her and I say, cut my hair. And now she says, go back. Go back to the other one. All right, well, then I'll go back to the other.
Okay, good. Good, Frida? Because I can't take the pressure.
I thought you liked the closeness, Frida, of cutting your husband's hair.
You know, I decided that there are other ways to be close that he and Rob may or may not share. That
you got it on him over that.
Don't you like it with my... Don't you like it with my...
To Rob, and I'll take, you know, some other things as exclusively my property.
Don't you like it when my tufts of hair fall all over the floor?
And yeah, and I don't like the cleanup either.
Yeah, well, my wife does the cleanup. God bless her.
Who does the cleanup? Do you do the cleanup when you cut it in here, Rob?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You do the whole thing?
Yes.
Except I would just like to point out that Rob uses a vacuum cleaner and Freddie uses a broom.
The traditional way.
Yeah. I use tweezers to clean up because I want to make sure I get every
each individual hair because that means if you do it that way, that's one more fan that gets the piece of
that's
hair.
That's right.
Well, listen, I love you. I love you. I had a great weekend with you.
Good. Well, good. Thank you, Boo.
I'm saying that to anybody who will hear me say it right now because I'm sure at some time... If not during today's show, tomorrow's show, I'll say something about how miserable I am. So I want to say now, with a clean slate on the start of a new week, things are great.
Good. Well, I'll just turn off my radio for the rest of the week, then.
All right.
I'll just leave it at that.
Then done and done.
Okay, good.
All right. I love you.
Goodbye. Love Bye-bye. You.
You do have an extra spring in your step today.
Huh? The only other time she yelled at me was when I busted the espresso machine.
You just got it.
Yeah, I know. You got the thing where you take the beans and you put the beans in the...
Right.
And then you take the stuff that's been made into coffee.
Yeah.
And you put it in the little scoop thing and you put the little scoop thing under the thing and you turn on the water. Well, I was thinking, it's much like the same logic that led me to think a long time ago. If something's supposed to be cooked for an hour at 200 degrees, you cook it for a half hour at 400 degrees.
Oh, yeah.
So what I did was... I double-loaded the little scooper thing, okay? I put, like, what I thought was a double shot of espresso in.
Right.
And actually what it was, it's already a double-shot-sized scoop, so it was a quadruple-sized espresso.
Did it come out as mud?
Well, what happened was the thing started steaming like a radiator does.
Oh, yeah.
That's the sign. That's a normal sign. Where when you screw off the top to let some of the pressure out, I go to screw off the top. And it was like that movie Gremlins, when the stuff, I go, whoa! Coffee, I'm sorry, did I spit on you?
You got me good on that one. It's a little moist over here. What, it went all over the place?
Coffee grounds everywhere. Oh. I don't mean like within a, one. I mean hit the wall.
So you didn't read the instructions?
No. But I haven't been to Starbucks in 2 weeks.
That's good.
Haven't been in 2 weeks because
I... What were you sucking on today when I came into the office? What was that?
Oh, well, I don't go to Starbucks.
Oh, really?
Now if I want a coffee when I'm at work, I send Nick or somebody out.
Oh, to see, I almost caught you there. I was saying, it's not like you're totally boycotting the product.
Oh, no.
It's
no.
Just that particular visitor.
I used to be in the routine of going to the Starbucks every day, the Starbucks by my house.
So in your mind, it doesn't matter. It's not like you're boycotting everything Starbucks, and you can send people
to Starbucks,
yes. To the Starbucks.
And it's only that one specific Starbucks.
Yeah. The ones that never called, I should
That's right.
Out.
They hurt my feelings, and I want them to know that that's $4 every day that they are never going to see again. Never.
Never.
It's much cheaper to do it with the machine and with the skim milk and with the Hershey stuff.
You like making your own.
Sure I do.
You can speckle the walls with the coffee grounds.
Makes me feel important. And then yesterday, I had a good day with my wife on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Sunday, I get up, got to do the Redskins show.
Right.
I'm pulling up, and I feel like that guy in Animal House. Remember the guy in Animal House who's sitting on his bed reading a Playboy, and like and Dean Wormer's wife or somebody comes through the window, and he says, thank you, God. I'm trying to find this place.
Right.
They say it's at 15th and K.
They send you out to another adventure spot?
Yeah, the place we do the Redskins show, the pregame show from. For the away games, we do them from bars and taverns.
Right.
I'm going 15th and K.
That's easy, 15th and K, right?
Yeah, but I'm thinking, I know that area.
Yeah.
I never heard of a sports bar.
Right? It's down like near the theater district down there, right?
It's right down by the Hyatt down there,
mm-hmm.
Which is right next. Well, as a matter of fact, the place was Archibald's.
Really? Right on top of Archie's?
They had, it's a strip club.
Ah.
So as I'm pulling around the block, I'm going, I see a homeless guy, and I pull up and I go, you know, hey, excuse me, have you heard of a place called Fanatics? And the guy goes,
right down there, right by Archibald's. I go, Archibald's?
Is this the place right up on top of Archibald's?
Yeah.
Whoa!
So it's like I pulled my car up, and there was a parking spot right out front. I pulled my car in. It's like, and I get out, and it says, you know, topless dancers. And I went, oh, thank you, God.
Our sales staff, only the finest.
Walked in, and that was a first. I had thought it was a low moment in broadcasting a couple of weeks ago when they had us do the Redskins show at a place where they were serving the breakfast buffet right in front of us. And right behind the breakfast buffet was the ladies' room, which had overflowed, and they were roto-rootering it.
Oh.
So the scene was roto-rooter, buffet, disc jockey.
Perfect.
I thought that was the all-time low until I pulled up yesterday and realized we're doing the Redskins pregame show from a nudie club.
So it was actually, there were dancers while you were in there?
Yes.
Wow. Late Sunday morning while other people are leaving their church.
Sure.
You're at a strip bar.
Amen, brother.
Wow.
Amen, brother.
Sounds like a pretty A number one weekend.
It was a delicious breakfast. It was quite a way to start.
That's great.
And your weekend?
My weekend was very good. Very kind of the opposite Saturday, a very good Saturday with my wife, but kind of the opposite of what you guys did. Friday night, you know, I went out and I was telling Charles Broyhill about my bad experience at dinner at a very nice restaurant. I won't mention the name because it was very unusual, but it was nonetheless, I'm on this new diet, you know, where I can only eat protein. Uh-huh. So I went to this restaurant, which is famous for protein. Protein is all the food that in normal diets you think is very bad for you.
Like red meat, right?
Like red meat, lobster, that type of thing. So I'm going to get myself a big old lobster, and they burned it. And I was like a little kid. I mean, it was just one step away from tears because I was looking forward to this from about 12 noon on. Yeah. I knew we were going to go and get one of these massive lobsters. And then when you burn it, and I'm from New England, when you burn a lobster, you know, you can't get any of the meat out. So I'm taking this claw, this lobster, and I'm going, sounding like Nell. And then not to make matters worse, you know when you're cooking something and you burn it? Say you're cooking something on a stove and you burn the bottom of the stove.
Right.
The flavor of the burn gets all, so
permeates.
I'm looking at my lobster like this.
There's Mike eating his lobster.
That's the sound I'm making right here. I was upset. Very disappointed.
Sure.
Laura had one too, and they were burned, you know.
Both of them.
And I was very, very upset. And also, maybe what contributed to my feeling was on this diet, there's one thing that I cannot engage in that I normally...
Is that beer?
Goes hand in hand. Normally a nice bottle of wine to go with my meal. And so I was drinking mineral water before that. And, you know, this type of restaurant that you've been to many times is kind of a yo-ho, yo-ho pirate's life for me. Mm-hmm. And one of the things when
it's
you're...
It's a
not,
very macho restaurant.
When you're not drinking wine or having beer or having any alcohol whatsoever, you're able to observe around you the progression of other tables. And at this particular restaurant on a Friday night, you just can watch people going... It goes from people going, yeah, well, I said that to him. Yeah. And then by the time we're leaving, something I would never notice because I'd be the one that was being this loud. Right. These people are going, bring me the mutton, bring me the mutton. And so meanwhile, I was just sitting there. You know, if I'd had the bottle of wine, two things could have happened. If I had
just
the bottle
of
wine.
I've been with this guy before. I've been with angry, sober Mike before.
If you know, it's not pleasant.
It's not. Yeah. I try to get him a drink as fast as I can.
Sure. Well, you know, it's really, this was the first time this diet, which is an all-protein diet, has been easy for me because you can eat all the stuff that you normally don't eat.
Right.
But I'll tell you something. What's frustrating is that was the one moment where supreme willpower had to be exercised because I came in and I realized this is my routine. If we go out to dinner on a Friday night, the dinner is fine, but the dinner, I must admit, is somewhat secondary. A nice bottle of wine is first. And so I was sitting there watching all these people, and I swear to God, three tables around me that were just like, oh, that kind of stuff, that kind of loud. And, man, I was a little bit so I said, well, it doesn't matter because I'm getting my big lobster. And then they bring out this lobster, and this lobster looked like, seriously, somebody had taken tar and painted over the claws of this lobster.
Wow.
And then I went to break it, and it crumbled into these little black brown flecks. The tail was okay, but this lobster was a big one, had these big, big ass claws on it, and I was ready to pick my meat out. It's all stuck. I'm tasting burnt food, and so I very nicely, and this I was under control. If I'd had the bottle of wine, it would have been, you know, pick the lobster up and throw it like a football. But I, you know, when you look forward to something, and when you are dropping that kind of money on a meal, and I mean this was not cheap, I was very, very disappointed and very hurt, and I almost went back to drinking wine, but I didn't do it. I really wanted. You know how I am.
When
I,
God,
get into, when I get into
thank
this
God you were able to maintain your sobriety for one night.
Man, it's just, it makes you just, on a Friday night, makes you just a little edgy, just a little bit edgy. But Saturday was great. We woke up Saturday. We went out.
Well, now, hold on. Tell the rest of it.
What? That was it. What, about the food?
Yeah, tell about how you think they put Visine on your food.
Oh, this was back in California. Same restaurant.
See, I thought you were talking about the same. See, I thought what you had done
it's
was
just my opinion.
Complained about the food, so they put Visine on.
No,
the food.
They were very nice. Very nice. Okay. Took the appetizers off the bill, and they were very nice and very understanding. And you know, it was a pleasant enough experience. Okay. Even though I was crying because you know, you took a perfectly good behemoth of a lobster and you punted it in the kitchen.
Well, see, I walked in on the end of that story during the commercial break and I heard you saying, so I don't know, I'm sicker than I ever been in my life.
Well, the last time I'd been at the similar chain, you know, and it is a chain, the last time I'd been there, they I had bitched also about the size of the food and, you know, because they're you're dropping a lot of coin and, you know, to me, you go into a restaurant, you order a nice little shrimp cocktail and you're paying this kind of money for it, they ought to be bigger than, you know, than your pinky. And so I bitched about it, and then when I got home, 5 minutes after we got back, this is when we're on vacation, I walk in, and my knees hit the porcelain floor, the tile floor, my hand hit the porcelain, and I mean, I'm not talking about sick, I'm talking about yak, talk to your shoes.
Yeah, that's why I never send anything back.
Mm-hmm.
I never complain, because I know they'll loogie on it.
Well,
they'll do something. I used to work at Burger Chef.
Mm-hmm.
I know how that works.
Well, they didn't, you know, I didn't send anything back. And that's when I was drinking wine. So I was kind of like saying, for God's sake, if you pay this kind of money, you think you ought to. It's value. You know, a friend of mine that owns a restaurant said the reason that people get bad food sometimes is they accept it. And so the older I get, the more curmudgeon-y I'm getting. And sometimes it's just when you're dropping a lot of money, the bottom line is I shouldn't go to nice places. I should stay home.
That's right.
I should cook my own food.
That's
I should go to IHOP or the diner that I go to, and mm-hmm. that because you know what you're going to get.
They never spit on your food there.
They don't do anything. I've never gotten back from the, you know that diner, the AAA diner, the mm-hmm. Triple D, the Triple mm-hmm. D diner that I used to go to? Man, oh man, I'd never projectile after that, but you go to this highfalutin place, this place, you know, this snobatorium, this boys club, this clubby, we're going to make you vomit place.
That's why I never send anything back. We had a girl who worked on our show a long time ago when we first started working together, one of our interns.
Okay.
She was a waitress on the weekends, and she told us one time that if anybody ever, like, sent an order back or gave her a hard time, she would always come out and say, listen, I'm so sorry for the misunderstanding. Please enjoy this large, free Coca-Cola.
Right.
And then she'd sit there and watch the guy slurp down his free Coca-Cola, knowing the whole time that she had poured like two or three drops of Visine into that.
Right.
Meaning that as soon as that guy gets home, it's like the scene from Dumb and Dumber.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. Absolutely. And and this is what, when I was in California, I didn't make the same mistake twice, though, even though, and I mean, they understood what I was complaining about, but they said, they came by and said, well, we're very sorry. We understand that is very, very burned, and we'd like to buy you dessert. And neither my wife or I wanted to get any dessert because I read, you know, he's in the back going,
yeah, right.
Just loogieing all over the thing. And
excuse me, my lobster is burned. Okay, thank you very much. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. I don't know what they did to that lobster.
I don't want to eat there again. I don't want to eat there again. Oh, why did I complain? Why did I complain? Why couldn't I keep my big mouth shut? A lovely evening.
I'll never complain again as long as I live.
It was great food.
I swear that's why I never send anything back, because you never know, you know, what kind of biker bum is back there making your food. And a lot of times, if I go to a drive-up place, the worst thing you can see is the guy who's made your sandwich.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes, even though it's a chain and even though it all tastes the same,
right?
Sometimes, you know, you pull up and you look in there and it's like a guy you just saw in America's Most Wanted who's in there putting your special sauce on your Big Mac. Just makes you wonder how clean those hands are.
Or you look at the lady, you know, who's not wearing those plastic gloves and kind of sitting there and obviously has a bad cold, and she's the one that's like handing you your fries.
Right.
It's very, very. We had a good Saturday, though. Saturday was very nice. We sat and watched TV, and Iron Will made me cry.
Well,
made me cry a little bit. When he wins that dog sled race, I thought, that man, that was just, that was absolutely dreamy.
You need to drink again. That's my only advice to you is start drinking if you're crying during that movie.
Well, I think I'm on the first phase of this diet, and I think on phase number three, I'm able to go back to the vino, but it's like a glass before dinner. What a hoot that is. A glass before dinner. Yeah. Why don't you just splash it on my face, huh?
We'll be right back.
JFK. That's why you, sir, are the greatest man in show business.
You can look, but you better not touch. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Now, listen, what do you think? First off, are you coming to the movie on Friday morning?
I just found out, and I'd love to, because it's a movie that I really want to see, and I want to take my wife, and we're going to see if we can get a babysitter.
You know that Friday, also at noon, we're being interviewed.
We are?
Remember, we're having that lunch?
Oh, yeah, by the guy that works with the thing.
Right.
Sure.
That guy.
Oh, man, that's going to be a tight schedule on Friday.
Yes, absolutely. Well, that's how it is, Mike. When you're at the top of your profession,
you know, though,
you're going to a movie premiere one second, and you're being interviewed by the guy from the thing on the other second.
Then we're going to have to make that time for the movie a little earlier than we normally make it.
No, the movie's at 9:30.
No, okay, well that's an hour earlier than normal. I remember those at 10:30. That's usually when we have them.
And it's at a different place now.
Oh, it is.
It's a place now that's closer to the place that we're going.
Oh, that's great.
With the guy from the thing to be talked to about for the write about us in the
what
thing.
What we should do is have we already locked in a place to meet with the guy for the thing that writes.
Yes,
the thing?
We've already locked in the place.
Right, we've locked in the place. Ah, that's
we already
right.
made a reservation at the place to go there with the guy from the thing who's going to write the stuff about
that's
us.
That's good. Okay, so and it's relatively close. To the place that we're going
it's
to
in.
Meet with the guy that writes the thing. Oh, okay. It's in where? Will you lip sync it again for me so I know? Yeah, because I didn't.
Let me turn off the microphones. Let me just turn off the microphones for a minute.
I don't know why we're going through this exercise. I'm going regardless. I'll be at the movie.
Buzz, just handle it for a second, please.
Okay. Don and Mike are going to meet a guy to talk about a thing on Friday, and then after they meet the guy about the thing, they'll go to the movie premiere. Don and Mike are negotiating to try to put these
fantastically
together as
possible.
That's
so much better.
Okay.
That's so much better. I am so excited about that.
So now, listen, should I really invite only super basement of the science building nerd trekkers to come?
I don't think, no matter who you invite, it has been my experience that people that come to these screenings are very well behaved, as long as you keep the numbers down. That's the most important thing. It's when you get too many people that it becomes a problem. How many do we usually have for our exclusive screenings?
About 10.
About 10, 20 at the most,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's cool. Make them all Trekkie people. So the nerdier, the better, as far as I'm concerned.
Friday morning, we get the big theater supplied by Charlie Stossel.
Right.
That's the opening day for the movie Star Trek First Contact, the movie with the Borg.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right, well, then we'll make it just for nerds.
That's right.
It's a party just for nerds and in uniforms only.
Yeah, and I wish your wife could come. That's too bad she's got the school thing.
That's okay. I'll sit between you and your wife.
I would bring the baby. You know, remember that one time I brought the baby to the screening? The baby didn't make a sound, and I was so proud of her.
Mm-hmm.
We're at that different stage now, where she's a year and a half now, and now we're at the stage where you know you're in a period of time where it's really not going to work if we bring her into a theater because I don't think number one, I think a movie like Star Trek
would
traumatize her for life. You know,
well,
oh my God.
Traumatized for me if I was trying to watch the movie. The kid was crying and everything.
Well, there are two children we have to worry about.
Yes.
You know, where about you would be very angry if she was screaming throughout. So I'll, that's good. I'm looking forward to that.
All right. Then at some point this week, maybe on more than one occasion,
yes.
We'll open up our super special nerd lines. just dial 1-800-GROSSMAN.
Yeah.
And if you got a Star Trek suit and you're one of those nutty Trekkie types, we'll give you some tickets to our exclusive screening of the Star Trek movie.
Good.
We have on the show this week, now Now, the race with Michael Johnson has been postponed for 1 week because of a scheduling conflict.
All right.
With the gold medal winner for the Olympics, who's going to take us on in a 100-meter race, the two of us against him.
I'm looking forward to that.
Picking up the slack this week, we have the spring man,
Jerry Springer.
The Jolly Springer, yes. Jerry Springer will be joining us.
Good.
And I think we're going to get Julio again this week. We got a big package from Julio Iglesias. You know, the funniest things happen when you got a show like this. We booked Julio Iglesias for an interview over the summer. And I don't know if you guys were listening. All you guys listening now were listening that day. He was on a car phone down in Miami.
Right.
And he was just driving around. And he was loose as a goose.
Mm-hmm.
And he said some stuff that maybe Julio Iglesias wouldn't say if he thought he was live on the radio.
Yeah, he was enjoying his chat, and he didn't realize that it was a chat for an interview on the air.
He thought that we were like a couple of morning guys who had gone into the studio in the afternoon.
Yeah, is this tape?
To tape an interview with him, because he couldn't believe that there would be a show like this that would be on in the late afternoon.
We had a great conversation with him, too. He enjoyed it.
So he loved it, right? Yeah. He had his publicist call back to say, Julio wants a tape of this, and apparently Julio Iglesias loved being on the show.
I love Don and Mike. Wonderful interview. And you say he's got a package? Well, does he ever have a package?
Well, he sent us this. Dear Don and Mike, my friends, I am excited to send you a copy of my latest CD, Tango.
This is the weirdest show in America. I don't care, man. This is the strangest show on the air.
And don't forget, when he was on our show, he told us that he has had toe sex before.
Ah, that's right.
That was the big nugget that he threw in when we said, are you sure that you want to say this on the radio?
Wasn't that the topic of the topic du jour was foot sex?
Yeah, and him and women and how many chicks he gets. And
sure.
He started off telling us the line that he's happily married, that that he's, you know, been happy with his wife. And
sure.
Then he mentioned he had toe sex with some girl.
Toe sex, yes.
So, dear Don and Michael, my friends, I'm excited to send you my latest CD, Tango.
Tango.
And this wonderful book as a small token of my appreciation for your support. Thank you for having me on your show this past June. I hope you experience a passion in life. And it's your friend, Julio Iglesias.
That's just about the coolest thing I've ever seen.
And he sent us a book about doing the tango.
Ooh, tango.
Sure. Now, I don't know if this is just some, you know, cheap come on.
Is it a book that teaches you how to tango?
I don't. It's a book. You can have it. It's like It's like a coffee table book. That's I think it gives like the history of tango. There you go, Mike.
One man's garbage, another man's treasure.
There you go. Enjoy.
All right. Oh, look at that.
No problem. Take it. Enjoy it.
This is how to dance the tango. Feel the blood rise to your face with every beat while an arm winds like a snake around a waist that is about to break. This is how to dance the tango.
And what's so funny about this is the book, although his record, whatever record it is that he's got out now, has something to do with the tango.
Right.
The book is unrelated. Mm-hmm. It's like Julio Iglesias told somebody to buy us a present.
Ah.
And it, you know, said, send them the tango record. Buy them a book. Buy them a book about tangos.
And he heard you had Uri Geller's book already.
Yeah. So.
I have heard about this dance, the tango, that people that get into this dance, that learn how to do it and do it a few times, it becomes a beyond a dance. It becomes a real passion. You know, Robert Duvall, who lives way, you know, right in our backyard here, he apparently is passionate about the tango. He loves to tango.
You know who else? Gomez Adams.
Gomez, querida.
Yeah.
Is this the album?
Yes. Julio Iglesias. He laughed at that when we had him on. I just say my name like that.
You funny guys.
So we got a letter from him.
Is he sing?
I don't know. It's not like a standard promotional package that we received. It's a letter from Julio Iglesias, and it has his home address.
Wow.
He lives in Bay Harbor Islands, Florida. Oh, here he is.
Can you picture yourself tripping the light fantastic? Hey, Miss Bobby, get in here!
You remember he also referred to us as crazy boys.
Yes, crazy boys.
You crazy boys.
Can I just heard that tango music? And Bobby walked by the window, and I found myself lost in the moment.
There she goes again.
Yeah. Put a rose, you know, put the rose. Isn't that where you put the rose in your teeth?
So. La da 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 da. All right, so we're booking Julio Iglesias, and if anybody cares, we have a real life actual letter that that he sent us because we are so important.
You just filed. You filed in the important letter column.
What am I going to do? Put it up on the wall in our office?
Yeah, frame it. Frame it, man.
Hello, my friends. This is Julio Iglesias wishing all of you happy holidays and a great, great new year.
Yeah, right back at you, Julio.
Thank you for the tango book.
We've got a break. We'll come back in our next session as we start the next hour of the show. We got to pick a winner in the Thanksgiving a-go-go contest.
That's right. It's very important for you to have your Thanksgiving dinner surrounded by exotic dancers.
We have one, two, three finalists, and we have a couple more new faxes to read, and we'll pick a winner and do all that stuff right after this. Oh, and yes, Thanksgiving a-go-go. That's just the first of many appearances by Mr. Tom Turkey on the show.
Yeah, we don't miss a holiday on this program.
Uh-uh. This is a big-time show.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
Radio Gods.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara, WJFK.
Don and Mike, it's Brother Louie from Extra 104. I didn't hear any of it yesterday, but it was relayed to me this morning that I was getting knocked around pretty good on the air by you two yesterday.
Yeah, brother.
And apparently Rob and Diana called me during the Extra 104 diner and made a request, and then you all were ragging on me because I didn't play the song. And
ragging on you.
I really don't know exactly what happened, but I'm going to give you all the material that I've got on this.
Please do.
The actual phone requests that came in.
Good.
And the way it aired. And
good.
You can do what you like with it as long as you keep mentioning me. An extra 104. It's great. Great 70s. 104.1 on the dial.
Station since has changed format.
Hey, can I make a request for the diner?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, Diana and I, we just got back from the movies, and we really want to hear Kiki D, I Got the Music in Me.
Tell them we're playing Hooky, Rob.
We're playing Hooky, Brother Louie.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
What movie?
Yeah, we just saw Get Shorty.
Oh, how was that?
It was fine.
It's getting mixed reviews. You liked it.
Our favorite new word. Our favorite new word is from that.
I remember that word, too.
All hits, all 70s, Extra 104, the 70s station here on the Extra 104 Diner. How you guys doing today?
Hello, we're playing Hooky, Rob.
We're playing Hooky, Brother Louie.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
What movie?
Yeah, we just saw Get Shorty.
Oh, how was that?
It was fine.
It's getting mixed reviews. You liked it.
I think a new word. Our favorite new word is from that. No, I can't say it on the radio.
All 70s, all the time, Extra 104. Yeah.
That's disjointed, man.
I think they're just dreamy. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
He's a guy, a DJ, who was working at a low-rated local station.
You know what I just remembered? He saved his work tape. I've never been aware of a guy that would save all of his calls.
My brother Louie did, because he was a pro. Look it up. But before he got fired with the rest of that station in the bloodbath.
Yeah.
That was predicted here. On Armageddon 106.7. That's right.
Satan's radio. Burn. Hello, Kathy Lee.
All the people that have made deals with you. Yeah, after I read his salary, you got to put Regis.
Hello, Larry King.
How would you think Larry King got on television every night?
Sure.
Sold his soul to Lucifer. So that guy, that disc jockey, that tape we just played... Rob and our former producer, Diana, were driving back from our screening of the movie Get Shorty.
Right.
Much like we're having a screening of this Star Trek movie. Mm-hmm. So they were calling this disc jockey to jerk his chain, you know, to make a request to see if they could get on this station.
Right.
So then they came in and they talked about it on our show.
Uh-huh.
And the guy, thinking that he's like Dan Rather or something, you know, goes, I've got all my materials to get. And the guy sent us these tapes.
Right.
And like presented them like as his evidence in this kangaroo court that is our radio show.
As long as you keep mentioning great 70s. Here's the material I have on it. Yeah. And that's one of those guys where you know it's a radio guy as soon as you walk into a room.
Sure.
Because no matter what situation he's in, he will be talking like that. Thank you. Thank you very much.
He couriered them over. That's how much time and effort he put into it.
Right.
He goes back. He gets the tapes. And now that guy, what's he doing now? He's watching Oprah now. He got fired with all those disc jockeys at that station.
Maybe he's, somewhere, some other city. I hope he landed on his feet.
Maybe he's working at CODA.
Dakota. K-O-D-A. That's a decade ago.
One of the first television commercials we ever did together was down at Disney World.
Yep.
I know it sounds odd, us at Disney World, but there was a time 11 years ago when we went down there, we bought into it, we did our show from there for a week.
We were definitely trained dogs for Disney for a while.
It was when they were opening, I think, the Living Seas.
Yep.
So they bring all these disc jockeys down, and you know they feed you this Disney pablum, and you make a commercial that says, listen to our morning zoo show because we're going to be broadcasting from Disney.
Yeah, they know the value of radio for promotional purposes, and nobody exploits radio like Disney exploits radio.
So we're down there with all these other disc jockeys waiting to do the commercial, where one of us is going to go inside the tank, as it turns out it was me that put on the scuba stuff and went inside the tank, and Mike's standing outside the tank, and we talk back and forth during the commercial, where there was some dialogue in the commercial.
Yes, and it was, it was exciting. It was a neat concept where you would be inside this giant shark tank, and I'm standing outside kind of pointing at you. It was a cool concept, and we were into doing it.
So they gave us a script.
Yeah.
And now we looked at it, and we said, listen, just put it on cards for us.
Yeah, we don't, you know, memorization was not not in our contract.
We said to them, look at Saturday Night Live. That's how we want to do it. And they said, no. We can't put it on cards. Read the script. So we said, okay, and we threw the script away. We said, we'll figure it out the day we get there because there will be so many disc jockeys before us doing it that we're not going to have it memorized.
It was like 20 seconds of copy. There was really not a lot to do. And so we figured we'd just take a look at the script, and then we'd have the giant brains that would be able to read the script and then put it down. And as soon as they said go, we would remember all of our lines, which did not necessarily happen.
It never worked.
No.
And the guy that went before us was this guy. And remember the call letters, because the guy brought a stopwatch with him, okay?
This is thinking back, we are two idiots just sitting there. We're mocking this guy.
Me and Mike are sitting there picking our noses.
Right.
Having something to eat, having some free Disney food, laughing at this disc jockey sitting next to us who's going, and he goes, click, with his stopwatch.
Yeah, he gets the timing right.
Listen for the opening of the Living Seas with me, Douchebag of the Morning, on K-O-D-A. Then he click his stopwatch, and he go, 19.5. I got to get a 20 dead on.
He's doing it again and again. And in the process, he's memorizing this. We are sitting over like the king idiots, laughing at him, having the best time. Just not. Our scripts are like dog-eared, rumpled in somebody's pocket.
And we are goofing on this guy because this guy, his whole thing was on Coda. K-O-D-A.
And he went first. And so, you know, it's great because all we're doing is mocking this guy because we're too cool to rehearse and go over. So he gets done doing his part, and we slide in front of the camera, and they said, okay, action. And we go,
what's the line?
We're too stupid.
Meanwhile,
we were too cool. We didn't memorize our lines.
I'm inside this tank, and this is costing Disney like $1,000 a minute with all the camera crews. Mike's standing outside the tank going, I don't know the line. And I'm inside going,
I know, that was
I don't know my line either. Can I get a prompt here? I don't know my line. And meanwhile, the Disney lady's going, well, now, didn't you guys memorize your scripts?
No!
So sorry.
The start of our very brief association with the Disney Corporation.
Oh, for goodness sakes.
That was funny, though, because here we were. We still look back on it as that guy being a bit of a stiff, because it's funny to watch him going, K-L-D-A, but when, in fact, you know, we should have been perhaps memorizing the lines ourselves.
Ah, but it worked out okay.
It worked out. Hey, we did the commercial, and it came out fine. I'll never forget how great I looked in a wetsuit. Man, a skin-tight wetsuit, which is just an embarrassment.
That's when we figured out that the whole Disney thing is just a plan to embarrass disc jockeys, just to take their airtime to get as many plugs as you can in and to make the disc jockeys look as stupid as possible while on Disney soil.
Use them like a toilet.
Amen, brother.
Mm-hmm.
Now, tomorrow, you know, early morning, early morning call tomorrow, I will see you here at 7 a.m. for our big video shoot. As we just have a couple of finishing touches to put on our Nude Olympics, of which we still don't have a name yet, for our holiday videotape.
That's right.
Unlike our CD-ROM, where last year we told you, some people were disappointed in the CD-ROM, and we said, you'll see what the studio is like. And what it was a computer recreation of our radio studio.
Mm-hmm.
On the beginning of our Nude Olympics tape, or whatever we end up calling it,
right,
you're going to see the actual studio. We're going to film a little bit in here tomorrow morning. They've been doing the lighting and such during the past week. So,
by some miracle, you're a person who is not motivated by simple nudity. And I find it hard to believe anybody would not be motivated to buy this tape based on nudity. If you happen to have a greater motivation to see the inner workings of what we do here every day, you're going to be able to see that on the videotape.
And I was asked about the videotape when I was out on Saturday night with my wife and with the other couple. And I finally figured out the best way to describe the scene of the woman in the long jump.
Mm-hmm.
As we zoom in on her butt as she's walking away, during this holiday time when it gets cold outside, you know when someone has like a pot of stew or a pot of chili on the stove?
Mm-hmm.
And when it starts to boil and it starts to gurgle and boil, that's what this woman's butt looks like as she's walking away. Well, now see, Mike hasn't seen the Mike doesn't see the tape.
I have not seen it. No.
Tomorrow, for the very first time, so that we get the same feel on the tape that we get here on the radio show.
That's right. That's right.
So Mike's responses will be totally spontaneous.
I'm really excited about it because this is going to be the. I have been kept in the dark, and I will be seeing it for the first. I mean, when you hear it, that's going to be the first time I've seen it. So I'm very excited about that.
And meanwhile, I'm like Steven Spielberg. All weekend, I've been at the house putting this thing in the VCR, going back and forth and wearing a baseball hat, like, you know, because that's what Steven Spielberg does. And watching it going, should I take out a half second here?
Yeah.
When she shakes her ass, do we leave that in? When the woman, and a big decision, when the woman is in the long jump, when she gets sand in her most intimate of areas,
right?
When she stands up to remove the sand.
Yeah, it's somewhat graphic.
The question is, how long do you stay with that shot?
Yeah, it's
are the questions that the great American filmmakers such as myself are being asked on a daily basis.
Never a question as to whether to omit the shot at all.
Oh,
just
no.
How long to stay absolutely riveted to it.
And I think you'll find a good long time.
That was the high point of the competition, the long jump.
And the tape will be available sometime after Thanksgiving. Oh, speaking of, there it is again. There he is.
Ah, Turkey Day.
Mr. Tom Turkey.
Gobble, gobble.
So we have the final video shoot for the Nude Olympics tomorrow. We still have to come up with some kind of a title for that, and we hope to be able to offer that to you before we get to Thanksgiving. We also got a call today from the secretary for Kramer. You know the Kramer from Seinfeld?
Yeah.
The real life?
Michael Richards?
No.
He has a secretary?
The real life Kramer.
Oh, that guy.
You know, the guy we've had him on the show before?
Sorry, I was not able to mask my disappointment there.
Yeah, not the real Kramer. I mean, the real Kramer, the guy who Cosmo Kramer is based on.
Yes.
He called, had his secretary call. He wants to come on the show because he's having a real-life fight with the soup Nazi.
Oh, my God.
Okay, now, all of this is, you know, based on the Jerry Seinfeld show.
Yeah, the soup Nazi, though, a real character. I mean, based on a real guy.
Just like this guy, Cosmo Kramer, is a real guy. Apparently, the guy who the character of Kramer is based on has this reality tour where he takes you around New York City and shows you, like, the restaurant where Jerry supposedly eats all the time.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He's been bringing people by the soup place where the soup Nazi works, and the soup Nazi is mad that the real-life Kramer is bringing his tours by. So the real-life Kramer wants to come on the show today, or if we don't...